Okay, so, okay, so Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, roll call, Commissioner Steve Poe.
I'm here.
Commissioner Robin McArdle.
Here.
Okay, Commissioner Lucy Labosha.
Here.
Commissioner Manon Getzey.
Here.
Okay, it looks like we have a quorum and we can proceed with the meeting.
Wonderful. All right, well, then, is it still true that I'm supposed to run the meeting?
Yes, you're good with that.
Okay, then let's go on to item number two, which is the approval of the minutes from October 27th of this last year. That's the last time we were able to muster a quorum. Did anybody have any questions or changes or suggestions for those minutes? I don't hear anybody say that they have an addition or correction. So, I guess, do they stand approved or do we have to vote on it?
Yes, you have to vote on it, so somebody can.
We do have to vote on it, okay. So the members of the commission, if you'll please unmute yourself, and if you are in favor of the approval of the minutes from October 27th, please say aye.
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 I am going to abstain.
Okay, very good. Well, I heard from all three of you, and I'll vote aye, so they do pass. All right. This is the call. Next is item number three, the call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to three-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by the speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take any legal action on matters raised during call to the audience, basically because it's not on the agenda. So, do we have any members of the audience that wished to address us today? Diana, do you have anybody that requested to speak?
I'm taking a look now, and now it does not look like that, so.
So is that a no?
All right, that is a no.
That is a no, okay. And Laura, you don't know about anybody who's requested to speak?
I do not.
All right, then we will move on from call to the audience to the Rose Garden Restoration. Laura, I assume that's you, but pass it off if you need to.
Okay, it is me. Give me a minute because I have to unshare the agenda and then share the presentation. Okay.
Great.
Let's see here. I've had it open all day just to make sure I do this right. Okay, all right. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And I'll try and go slow because I know sometimes it takes a little bit for it to populate. So we've been working recently towards, actually probably, that's probably wrong. It's been just under a year towards an assessment and a revitalization project at the Seal Peterson Rose Garden at Reed Park. I don't want to assume that everybody has visited this garden before, but interesting fact. So when I was researching Tucson, when I was interviewing for the job, this was actually like in the top 15 places or to visit through TripAdvisor. So it was somewhere that I went out of my way to visit. It was the wrong time of year. I came after the season, and so it was already closed. And then when I started, it was still closed because this time of year is when the pruning occurs and getting ready for the new spring season. So I actually didn't get to visit it for the first time until I want to say March or early April. So when went to go and visit, why is this not advancing? There it is. When I went and visited the park or the garden, it really was A little disappointing only because just it's aged. It has aged. And I think despite a lot of good efforts from the volunteer group, the Friends of the Rose Garden, and from staff, they've tried to sustain it. But the garden, I don't know if you know the age of it. It's from the 1960s. It was quite interesting and fascinating. As I started to research it, I got to speak with Bob Charles, who used to be very good friends with Jean Reed. And they together decided they wanted to do a test rose garden to learn how to grow roses in Tucson. So that's the simple origins of the garden. And at that time, he planted 300 rose plants. And everything was planted in a spherical shape. And we actually have a map, which I probably should have put in the document today, but that showed how they did the beds. And the beds were planted with approximately 10 bushes per bed. And so that's the history or how far back it goes. Bob Charles actually still resides here part-time. He, fun fact, this is what I enjoyed about learning about him, is he invented the Happy Meal for McDonald's. Pretty cool guy. And but what I love about my conversation with him is he understood that we decided we were going to do what we could to revitalize the garden, reinvest in it, not make any changes from its original intent or design. And he has committed, when we're at the point that we're ready to replant bushes, that he would be willing to reach out to the original company that donated the original 300 plants and get us what we need for replenishment. So it's really cool. I hope that when we do get to that point, which I'll tell you where we are today and where I forecast that to be, that maybe he'll even come out and maybe help us plant, because that would just be going full circle. Anyway, so essentially the condition of the garden is the failing irrigation system. It really, if you think about it, the garden, one of the core features of sustaining the roses is reliable water. It does need to be replaced. There's a lot of undefined pathways. What I've witnessed on many of the visits is kids will run in between the plants and the bushes. So it would be ideal to have a more formal border around each bed to help protect them. There has been weed overgrowth, and the soil conditions themselves as well hasn't been a high priority in terms of making sure that they're sustaining for optimal rose growth. You'll see in some photos that I'll show you shortly some bare beds that were where the original plants were, but they failed. And so when they were removed, they weren't replaced. So patchy kind of environment. And in walking through with the U of A master gardeners from the extension, so I invited Parker from the U of A extension. He came with three master gardeners. And then also in talking with Anne, who is kind of, I would call her the lead of the Friends of the Rose Garden, it's identified that we have a lot of plants there that have diseased branches, old rootstock that, so roses, sorry, there's someone backing up right outside my office. Rose plants grow off of a rootstock, but the rootstock is not what's pushing out the actual blooms. It's whatever's been grafted to the rootstock. What we have in the garden is a lot of plants that are blooming rootstock and not the true intended variety. So it would be optimal to remove those and actually restore and put in the grafted plants for us to see the true beauty of the garden. There's no on-site signage, very minimal on-site signage. And the front entrance really needed a lot of restoration. It was a water fountain that wasn't working, some benches that were in poor condition, some of the concrete at the entryway. Also, we had some safety concerns. And the fence all the way around it showed some weak points where the metal had eroded. And long-term, we know what would happen is that people would see those are areas of vulnerability, and then you could start running into folks that are getting in there through a weak point in the fencing, and we don't want vandalism. So how did we assess a lot of these conditions? Through site, like I mentioned before, the University of Arizona's Extension Office and Master Gardeners, talking to Bob Charles on the history and just what was the original vision, meeting with the Friends of the Rose Garden and the volunteers on site, and then also city staff, and we got a design firm to help us do technical design and project, and recommending finally project facing. So I'm going to just show you just a real quick sample. You're going to see in the first picture here, there's some smaller plants with yellow tape. Those are the plants that Anne from the volunteer group had designated to come out because they're either rootstock or they're in very poor condition. Here you can, you can see in the first photo as well, just dense weed overgrowth over years, just that has been hard to maintain. And some of these bushes are substantial, but some of them are in failing condition. Also, I mentioned before some of the bare patches areas. This actually was taken on the day. This is two of the master gardeners that were looking at the soil, because I asked if they could make some recommendation on amendments and things that we should be annually applying to the garden. Here you'll see dead. This is a dead rose that just hasn't been removed yet. And just additional, you can see just kind of wild growth, weeds again. So this is what pretty much was being seen by visitors. It's really just, this is was the condition. A lot of these photos were taken about June of last year. And we've been, I have to give staff a lot of credit. We've been really trying to figure out how do we make something happen? How do we kick off? And the first phase, I don't know if any of you have met Dominic from our irrigation side of the shop, but he was able to get a firm in, and we paid for a design for a new irrigation system. And then from there, we engaged a company, M. Anderson, for project cost. So what we thought probably could have landed in the $200,000 to $250,000 range came back in at $650,000, and there was no money set aside for this. I mean, this is really about the department deciding to do what is right. So there has been some work, and I'll share in a minute what we've done so far. We've cobbled together the money from the general fund for this year to at least just to get started. One of the things that I had heard from a few folks and talking to them is there had been a lot of commitments over the years to do something for the Rose Garden, but never the follow through. So I just decided, okay, we're going to figure this out. We're going to make it happen. At the same time, talking with the Parks Foundation, they have kind of were and probably still are in somewhat similar situations with our park commission. They've lost some members. They need to gain some new members. And one of the things that I had heard from the chair was if they had a great project to really focus on for fundraising, that they thought that might be the hook to get some revitalization for their board participation. And when I talked to them about the Rose Garden, initially, what we were thinking is we want to put in some more formalized walkways. Why not do memorial brick program? And then if you buy the memorial brick, that money goes to the foundation. And then when the Rose Garden needs future improvements, whatever, you know, new plans, replacement of signage, we've got this fund that we can tap into. Well, they've kind of decided they want to take it even further than that. They want to do more than just memorial bricks and memorial benches. They'd like to see if they could pursue some actual signature endowments, maybe from a corporate level. The front entrance also really needs some work. It was named after Seal Peterson. I should know the year that happened. I don't, but I will make sure I do. And that designation after her has never been formally recognized at the front entrance, and the front entrance actually has some poor condition. Some of the beam work, the woodwork is in poor condition. And then we talked about long-term, there could also be the opportunity to do some art, maybe a decorative arbor that people could use for weddings, which then could be additional revenue we could collect to support the garden. So right now where we are is there's a meeting coming up in about 2 weeks with the foundation to talk about how their fundraising campaign will go. So what we've done this year is Mike was great. He said annually we work with the Arizona Conservation Corps, and why not attribute 2 weeks of that annual work to helping us with some of that earthwork that needs to happen, the weed removal, the dead plants removals. It also coincided with Magic Nursery closed last year, and when they closed, Parker from the extension connected the owners with me because they had a number of roses that did not sell when they were closing, and so they donated them to the Parks Department, and Dominic and his crew and took turns watering them and keep and sustaining them to this point so that those that were viable could be planted into the garden now. So the Arizona Conservation Corps helped us to do all of that. The irrigation staff, while we were doing that earthwork, dug up a lot of the irrigation locations that they knew were in poor condition to basically band-aid them through one more year. The reason also for that is by the time we got all the quotes back in for the cost of the project and we tried to start figuring out how to phase it, remember, these are plants and there's growing seasons and cycles, and we wanted to be very intentional about when the irrigation work actually would occur. So it was determined, hey, let's do some of the lower hanging fruit things. Let's do the fencing. Let's do the front where we've got some concrete that was a safety issue. Let's replace the benches, the water fountain, and let's clear out a lot of the dead wood, the dead diseased wood, and get those plants that were donated in the ground. And that way we show the public we're working towards making, restoring the garden back to its original glory. And Anne is super excited as well, which I'm happy because her and her volunteers do put a lot of sweat equity into the garden. So I think it's a nice reward for them to see us investing as well. So between M. Anderson and staff, we were able to break it down into year one, which is the stuff I just mentioned that occurred. And then year two and three, which would allow the foundation the time to do fundraising. I'm also exploring some other funding opportunities for us to ensure that we're able to do the irrigation and additional concrete work next year. Hey, Robin, I see your hands up.
Thank you. This is fantastic. I'm glad to see it moving ahead. I wonder how involved is Seal Peterson's family notified of all the meetings, and they themselves, Seal Peterson is so beloved in this community, and I know it was within the time that I've been on the commission that this was voted in as the Seal Peterson Rose Garden, so it's been very recent, really. But her family is just so deeply rooted and involved, and would be such a valuable asset and key stakeholders in this process.
And I agree with you, Bill DuPont, and I have spoken. He said he's got a very good relationship with the family, and I've kept him updated as we've progressed. And so what we thought would be a good natural fit is when the Parks Foundation has set up their arm for the fund, accepting funds, that we would also involve Bill and her family and talk about their interest in participating, which also would be a good time for us to have the conduit for recognizing that kind of contribution, possible contribution.
Great.
So great, great idea. We're right in line with you on that.
Thank you.
No problem. So I'm just going to show you. So if you look at this picture here, what you see is it looks like just bare earth with sticks pointing up. But basically, this is where all the weeds were removed. The plants were removed. Irrigation was repaired. And actually, I realized afterwards I should have staged this a little better, but that's the Conservation Corps actually there on site doing the work. They were a great team, got to talk to them on my two different visits, and they're all based out of Tucson, and they were excited to come back in the summer months and see literally the results of their hard work. And then I thought I'd do a cute shout out to our staff who literally were, you know, up to their elbows in the dirt, fixing and repairing the PVC and making sure that they're all functional for the upcoming season. And then I don't have a lot of post-work pictures yet, but this is a good sample. So here on the left, what you see are some of the new plants that we got from Magic that have been placed in and mulched. This was taken pretty early on of that particular week. And then over here, you see here the pavers that went in. This is if you're standing at the front entrance looking in. So these pavers have been added in as placeholders for future the memorial bricks. So the idea is in working with the foundation, the other bonus is coming up with cost-effective ways for people to donate that aren't beyond their means. We are challenged with our memorial bench program because of the cost, the memorial bricks in general. This will be a good location for us to direct folks to if they want to honor someone for something that's more nominal. And that's my presentation. So happy to answer any of your questions.
Wow. All right. Questions from anybody? That was quite extensive for...
I was trying to keep it short. It's hard.
No, that's
well,
good.
And I'm also very passionate about it.
I thought it was interesting the way you phrased. You said you cobbled together some funds. Do you have that as part of the budget preparations for next year's budget?
Yeah. So I've got it. I've got it factored in for next year's budget. I mentioned before too, there might be some grant dollars that if it meets the criteria, I might be able to allocate. I'm really hoping that the foundation is able to get some good momentum together to make this happen. I refuse to let us not get it done. So by whatever means possible, we will figure it out. Hey, Robin.
Hey. Yes. Well, she's again, because it's Seal Peterson. Has there been conversation about a dedication? I don't think there's. It hasn't been dedicated to Seal Peterson Rose Gardener, has it? And because I think that probably might have even happened during COVID. So in order to gain momentum, it seems like just dedicating it and having something when that's able to happen. And because as far as I'm concerned, this is probably front page news, stuff that people would really be very interested in.
That's an excellent thought.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And it's definitely something, too, that I could add. As an idea for the foundation, because one of the things I do plan on talking with them is how do we market this? How do we get the word out? What would they like to do to engage folks? And I love that idea. I'm not sure if that ever has happened. Sierra just put in the chat, we have not done a dedication. And we want to be able to unveil the signage. So that's definitely would be in the plans.
Yeah, I think
but I love the ideas.
Big fundraising opportunity there.
Yeah.
So, thank
All
you.
All right. Anybody else have any questions for Laura or Sierra or anybody? I would assume you will keep us updated then. Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. The next item on the agenda is item number 5, Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission Awards. Now, hopefully, y'all had a chance to go through the long list of requests to be on the list for the rewards. The problem being that we were never given, at the time that we did this, we were never given any kind of a process. So I'm going to suggest a process and then let the rest of the commissioners respond to that to see if that meets their needs. And that would be for each of us to look through the list and come up with a certain number that we think should be passed on. And I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but I think that the names of the possible recipients could be, once we figure out how many we want, could be put together, and then we would designate who would get this list of names, and then they could compile and see what how many are responding to particular candidates. Because other than that, when we have so many, it's going to be really hard to try to narrow this down at these meetings. So I think just kind of getting a head count as to who we think are the top possible honorees, and then collating all that information and bringing that back in our February meeting. So what do the rest of the commission think of that idea, if it makes any sense? Manon?
I have a question. When I was going through it, you know, it looked like there were there was a team category and an individual category. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And how many can we nominate for a team and an individual?
We don't have a specific number. I would have to go back to ask either Diana or somebody else who can go back that far and remember, but it seems to me it's normally not too many, because it kind of takes away the attention from the winners if we have more than three or four, say.
Okay, so, thank you.
What I recall is at the, I want to say it was the October meeting or November meeting, we agreed on 10 total awards.
10 total, okay. All right.
Yes, I believe I agree. That was a discussion.
Okay. I would have to go back to the minutes, but I'll take your word for it. How do you want to proceed with this? Do you want to send in a list of your top, and I don't know whether you want to use the number 10, but the top, whatever we decide, and then have that collated and see how those match up, or how do you want to go from here? Difficult question.
Well, yeah, it's an important process. Is there a written process for determining, or is this different? Is it different every year?
My recollection goes back 3 or 4 years, and it seems to me that we did not have a particular process. We just read through what was there and then made recommendations in a meeting as to which names would be included. But again, I could be wrong, because I don't remember extremely well how we handled this 3 or 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Does anybody from Parks and Rec staff, do you know if there's a procedure that's been followed?
So Sierra just put in the chat that historically you all have gotten only about 3 to 5 applications have been submitted, and then the TPRC selected them all as winners. So I guess they made it easy for you. But hey, maybe we're doing an even better job that we got so many applications this year.
I'm glad to see that.
If I may offer an idea, perhaps we can provide you, and that's true too. I forgot that this is the first time we went public with the nominations. Right. So that probably led to the increased.
Okay.
So we could do an Excel spreadsheet that lists all the folks, and then you write in one through, you know, I can't remember how many total applications we had. And then we can, if you submit it to us in advance, then we could come back and tell you which ones you coincided on, and then you can debate on. That would also, I would imagine too, for Lucy's benefit, allow her to participate in the process too.
Right. And I'm sorry about my ignorance on this. Are in these situations, are there ever subcommittees within the commission that can meet? Of course, we want input from all the commissioners. And then does it ever come back down to a subcommittee? I really want to put some time and effort into this and have conversation about it with other commission members.
I think the idea of making sure that all of us have an opportunity to participate in the,
absolutely,
in the election is certainly a good idea. It's so difficult now with COVID and with the open meeting laws and things like that for us to try to do a subcommittee. I suppose it's possible, but I would have to let the staff try to find out if there are any particular guidelines for that. Otherwise, I think Laura's idea is good. I've already prepared my list, by the way, because I thought I wanted to, you know, jump ahead and be ready when I made that recommendation. So I see really three categories as opposed to two, and that's not technically correct because there's a team category and there's an individual category. But I think that actually the individual category should be separated into Parks and Rec's employees and members of the public.
I think that sounds good.
That's my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Well,
so
Lucy, do you have any thoughts or preferences as far as whether this list is sent to you so that you can read through those again and react by putting them in some kind of order, including separating the individual from the team recommendations.
Yeah, I haven't thought about the category. I think that the category suggestions I definitely will probably agree with based on you all's experience. But I was wondering what the timeline, what's the timeline in which to do this? And I like the idea of 10, especially I think as Laura mentioned, 10 was agreed upon previously. So I think that the number 10, based on, I actually read all of those recommendations. I thought they were wonderful in my notes. And so, and I think I assumed I had just assumed that that was something you all had already worked through and you were just sharing, but I would love to be a part of the process. I like the number 10, especially if it was agreed upon. And yeah.
Okay, well, because we haven't had a meeting since October, I think the timeline has been kind of upended. So I think we can set our own timeline now and come up with a date by which we will have made the decisions. So if we have anybody that has a suggestion, that would certainly be appropriate. At this time, I would think that if staff could send us that spreadsheet and then we react and get that back in before our next meeting, then we would at least have a possibility of getting this all wrapped up by our March meeting. Is that doable?
I think that's doable. Steve, when you talked about staff, the two categories, and the public, did you have a certain number in mind?
No, I did not. As far as the 10 goes, I think we can just stick with the 10, and then we have to determine, you know, whether the team takes up two of those, three of those, whatever.
Right.
And then the individual take up the rest. And if somebody is actually from the general public and not part of the staff and deserves the recognition because of all the things that they have done, then we just include those as part of the thing. Now, if somebody wants to set up a particular number, that's kind of difficult, but I think just making it more general would be easier.
Okay, very good. I think you're right. The timeline has kind of been thrown up in the air. So let's consider it a process. And I agree with what you're presenting. And we'll come prepared. Do you want to have it as an agenda item and we go through that list in February, or are you saying in March?
I'm saying that if we, let me look at my calendar here. Okay. If we have a meeting scheduled for the 24th of February, if everybody gets this list and can give their input by a week before the meeting on the 24th, and it is put on the agenda that we can then discuss it, we can actually either vote at that time, if that's what you decide that you want to do, or we can certainly put it off until the March 24th meeting, or is, I think it's the 24th anyway, this calendar is so small, and make sure that we get it taken care of one of those 2 months, depending on what we run any difficulty that we get and the responses that we get for the February meeting. But I think Laura is giving the staff a week after, you know, between that and the meeting, enough time to put all that information together.
I mean, you're talking about four spreadsheets coming back, and I have an idea of how to lay it out. I think it'll be pretty easy to merge them. Okay. So I'll help Diana with doing it.
All right, very good. And okay, if you decide that's a problem, then just let us know, and we'll come up with another idea.
No, I think it'll be fine.
Try to get through this. All right, and I don't want to limit it to four. If somebody happens to be appointed, like Lucy was, in the meantime, there's no reason that they shouldn't participate, because they will have the nominations and exactly the same information that we have. All right, anybody else have any other thoughts? So it looks like we're going to try to get our the spreadsheets out and then get them back to Diana or Laura by the 17th, which is a week before our next meeting on the 24th of February. Does everybody agree and understand or have any problems with that?
Just thinking about the spreadsheets, will we be prioritizing? Will we be putting a number from 1 to 10? What will that look like? What will that be like?
So I was thinking the first column will have the list of the name or team. The second column would be what your rank is, and then the third and fourth would be whether it's an individual award or a team award.
Okay, good.
And then I would just, right, so then you could just rank that way.
All right, and we will rank them 1 through 10 and stop at that.
Yeah, and if we have questions, we'll call you.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
All right, well, very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a column there for comments.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea. I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
Especially when we're talking about possibly in when we're putting people who are in the general public in the same category as the employees, who hopefully spend around 40 hours a week or more doing this. That may be fairly important.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Anybody else have any comments or questions about the awards? Then let's go on to item number 6, mayor and council agenda items. Laura, do we have anything there?
No, we don't have anything that is currently scheduled. In January, we had two. One was an IGA with Pima County on future GSI collaboration projects. And the second one, I can't remember the Riley. Oh, shoot. But basically, we were collaborating using community development CDBG dollars to renovate a play structure and a sports field in coordination with a an abandoned school building that the Pasayaki tribe used for as a rec center. So those are the historical agendas, but right now we don't have anything coming up.
Okay. All right. Very good. Then if there's nothing else, let's go on to item number 7, which is reports or announcements from both the starting with the Parks and Recreation Commission, then going to the staff and director. So as far as reports or announcements or questions from the Parks and Recreation Commission, anybody want to chime in now?
Yes.
Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Looking over the reports for centers, and when we receive those reports, Laura, is there a way that we can get on the report just simply on the top line with the center, say El Rio Center, what days they are now open and what times? Just to see how we're moving along with opening.
So to confirm, you would like for each of the centers that are included in the report for us to reflect what the current operational hours are?
I would love that.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Robin, did you have anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. Any of the other commissioners? I have a couple, but anybody else have something that they want to ask? Okay. I have, let's see, 3 questions. Number 1, in the recreation report, it mentions that they're at one of the recreation centers, and I'm sorry I didn't write it down, they said that they had 16 seniors at a monthly info meeting. Does anybody have any recollection as to what this info meeting is about?
I was trying to unmute myself. Hi, Steve. It's Donnie, the recreation manager.
Oh, good.
So typically when our seniors have an informational meeting, we're meeting with our established senior group and they're deciding what activities are we going to do for the next month.
Ah, okay. That makes perfect sense. I just couldn't figure out what kind of info you were dispersing there. All right.
That's what it is.
All right. Under the maintenance report, it mentions $800,000, which is going for drinking fountain replacement. Is that in just particular parks, or is it anywhere that we notice that there's a drinking fountain that isn't working?
Mr. Poe, Mike Hayes, and Manny's on this. He can chime in. So Dominic Rulo, who was mentioned earlier, our irrigation specialist, worked with Tucson Water and got the additional funding for us out of their, help me out, Lara, the name of the funding is called their, comes from your budget. So when you pay your bill, your water bill, I think $1 of it goes to their reinvestment funds or that type of stuff. And so the intent is to take broken drinking fountains and replace them with new ones so they're leaking. So we're trying to replace the old concrete ones that were out in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through that one at a time, basically. And Dominic is replacing the piping to it and so on and so forth. So actually, they've got a schedule of which ones will be replaced. It's not just random ones. And then we're also doing it in conjunction with bond projects. If we're placing a playground and the drinking fountain in that new playground isn't appropriate, then we will put them in at that place. Adding drinking fountains and dog parks that we've added, like Anza Park, things like that. So they're all scheduled, and that's from funding from Tucson Water's I can't remember the name of the, I'm going to blurt it out during the meeting because it'll come to me here before we're done. So that's, okay. That's what that funding is. That's actually funding from Tucson Water from the public fees.
Okay. So I understand that this is an ongoing, a never-ending process trying to keep drinking fountains, et cetera, going. But do we have any estimates as to what the need is? Because I just am wondering if $800,000 for this is just a drop in the bucket.
It's literally a drop in the bucket. But I can get you that report. I'll include it in the next meeting. Dominic actually has that full list put together. Okay. And the new drinking fountains we're putting in are a little deeper, and so we don't have to shut them off in the winter. So fortunately, we haven't been too cold lately, but when it freezes, we have to go shut them all off, and they may not get shut right back on because they'll freeze. So these new drinking fountains we're installing, I believe, are deeper in the soil, so they do not crack. So that's part of it. But yes, I will include a list of what's being done and what still needs to be done for the next meeting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the information. And there's one more question, and that is on the zoo summary, was the zoo lights included in any of that report?
I don't know. That ran all the way up to the end of December, I think even into January. So it may not. I can ask Nancy. And is there something in particular you'd like to know about the zoo lights that she could break out for you?
No, I was just curious as to whether those figures included the responses to the zoo lights, because it was an absolutely fabulous program. I was just amazed when I got over there at night and saw that. But no, just general interest as to whether that's included in that December report or not.
Sure, I'll definitely confirm with her. I see Lucy's hand is up.
All right, Lucy, go ahead.
Just a quick question, just a tad off topic. I was wondering if there is some kind of study session that I could take part in as the newest member of this commission. I'm really, really interested in looking at and having informed questions about regarding or surrounding the budget. And so I was wondering if you all did that, or maybe I could perhaps maybe meet with maybe some of the other commissioners, you know, some at some point, maybe even outside of this time.
So just so I have some clarity, the budget as it pertains to the department, the Parks Department?
Yes.
I believe that's what she means, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Current budget or what? Because we're actually in budgeting proposal period right now for FY23. Yeah. So what I would recommend, if you'd like, I guess, what would be the pleasure, Steve? Do you want to, because I don't, last year we didn't do anything along budget, so.
Well, you were new.
Yeah, and we asked to do that.
Yes, we did.
Yes, so we had done a form in December that I sent out just to see where your priorities or recommendations were. Like if you had the ability to say or give us feedback on where you would spend money. I made it very simple. And Lucy, I could definitely make sure to send you that same form. And we haven't met since that's gone out to really talk through. But if you would like to do a presentation on the current budget, I'd be happy to put something together. I probably need more than 5 minutes, as we've learned from the Rose Garden presentation.
Thank you,
Laura. Would you mind sending that request to everybody so that everybody has another copy of it?
Sure.
All right. Very good. Anybody else have any questions?
I just want to say to Lucy, I remember coming on and it was a little strange getting started on the commission. And I think this is within the commission guidelines. I would be happy to sit. I worked for Parks and Rec for 39 years. I'd be happy to sit down and have a conversation with you about Parks and Rec and the commission and.
Thank you. I would love that.
And I would be, and I would be more than happy to do that, but not at the same time.
Right, right.
Because we have to be very careful about that.
That's right.
So I'd be interested in a bit of a tutorial because I came on, it went on really fast and then just stopped. So I'd like a little bit more. And now we've lost a lot of commissioners and we're going to have a lot of new people on. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
That is a problem. That's for sure. Okay.
I'll definitely reach out.
One more thing, Steve. Steve, can I mention one thing? When we have someone like Mr. Wonderful Willie Blake, who has left after serving his full 8 years, is there something that is done by the city to recognize or by the commission to recognize his service?
That is an excellent question. He and Kendall both.
And Kendall. Kendall did his 8 years. That's right. That's right. Thank you.
And I have such little experience with people sticking on this board for a long period of time that I don't know if there is any process or any recognition for these folks. Anybody who's been around a long time, any of the staff members like Mike or Sierra or somebody, know whether there has been anything in the past?
And I know that Councilmember Fimbres is good at his community service medallions that he gives out, and I would imagine that he did that. Is there anything that comes through the mayor's office that could go to those two? Is there a staff person that can look into that? I'm sure they do things for volunteers.
So if we go back to the TPRC award process, I would say there's nothing that would exclude the commission recommending them as part of that package. Because if I understand how it all proceeds, when we finally have our awardees, we then coordinate through the mayor's office to do a presentation at one of the agenda or mayor and council agendas, right? Regular meeting. So we could also submit that recommendation at that same time if that was the will of the commission.
I think that's a great way to do it. I'd say that it would be over and above the 10 people. I wouldn't include them on there.
Correct.
Oh,
yes,
I agree. Okay. Yes. And again, I'm the only two that I know of that have maxed out are those two. Now, there may have been others that I wasn't aware of, but in the 5 years that I've been here, those are the only two. So I agree with you that we should probably give them some kind of recognition.
Great.
Anything else on the Parks and Recreation Commission reports or announcements before we go to staff? All right. Laura, how about your staff?
I put it open the floor up for them. Does anybody have anything to report?
I just wanted to mention if you have seen any of our ads for our new event that we're pursuing, we've never done anything like this before. It's an adults only event. It's February 11th. It's on our website. You can pre-register and it's a zoo, some snacks, some games at our outdoor performance center. And then we're showing a movie where it's called Sweethearts in the Park for adults. And it's kind of a cheap way to have a good time. That probably didn't sound right, but you'll get a blanket and a charcuterie board and some treats and those kind of things to, you know, kind of hang out and do some adult stuff for that day. And so if you are apropos to come on out and hang out with us, then please do. And we're currently working as a department on our Easter event at Mansfield Park, the extravaganza. Fingers crossed, we're still going to be able to do something in person, but either way, we're ready to pivot and provide something for the public either way.
All right. Very good, Donnie. Thank you.
I'll say a couple little things. One, I think it's Tucson Water Environs Funds. Am I saying that right, Lara?
Is that that's what the water fountain is right, coming from?
That is,
I think yeah. It's called the Environs Funds. Does that sound familiar? Anybody?
Yes, that's correct, Mike.
Okay, perfect. We'll go with that. The other thing, just real quick, something we've been really, really working on, and I think we're, I even hate to say this out loud, I think we're only 2 to 3 weeks away from making it happen. It's been a long time coming. We had a great idea, probably met with Lara 9 months ago when she first came on board, and Manny, myself, and Sean sat down and, you know, what is our biggest need? And we have a lot of them, but one of the things that we've been struggling with is our ball field maintenance. We've had such an issue with core services and maintaining staff. We're on average, we're running 8 to 12 vacancies routinely. I mean, we every time we hire, we lose people. So, but we're actually built it back up with the help of Lara. Thank you, Lara, and the city manager allowing us to actually, what we're doing now is being able to overfill. And so I can actually carry a handful of extra groundskeepers because budget-wise, we know, you know, it takes a month or two to get them replaced. So with the budget savings, we're able to keep a full crew. And with that, knock on wood, April 20 or February 21st, we will be starting three different ball field crews. So currently we have a ball field crew that runs the annex fields, and they, you know, with the Dinos baseball, Mexican baseball, and working with the U of A, they're professional ball field maintenance folks. And so we decided, because core services has grown and cleaning restrooms and Ramadas and keeping the weeds down and stuff, that we're creating a crew of 3 permanent employees and 4 or 5 part-time employees, one in section 1, one here at section 2, and in section 3. And section 1 will be housed out of Mission Manor for now, but they'll be strictly doing ball fields. So all the reservable fields that Donnie and her staff have for us that are reservable, our staff will be maintaining at a higher level than we've done for 6 or 7 years that I'm aware of. And we'll have a crew here at Reed that will handle all the parks in this section. And then we'll have a crew at Lincoln that will take care of all. So we're talking about Little League fields, Little League prep, making sure the base anchors are safe, the mounds are replaced, the infields are dragged, soccer fields will be lined and marked appropriately. This crew will also be aerifying twice annually, fertilizing and stuff, and so really starting to take care of the turf and the infields and the soccer fields at a higher level. So I'm very excited to be able to, with Lara's help, get that crew kicked off. And so the new groundskeepers have made that possible. So hopefully we'll have some good reports for you moving forward. And we'll make sure we include them in the reports. So I don't know, Manny, if you want to add anything to that?
No, Mike.
Thanks.
That does bring up, Mike, that does bring up a question that I have, though.
Okay.
About, well, sometime in November, I mentioned to you about the Ramada and the tables over at the Catalina High School playground, that it needed to have some kind of spray or some kind of cleanup. And I've been told that we don't even have a crew that does that anymore. Is that correct? And if so, is there any thought to returning any positions to that job?
So that's not true. We do have a crew that does that. The issue is that we're so shorthanded. But I did schedule that, and I will follow up with Ann tomorrow. That was actually scheduled to be done, I thought, last week, but I'll follow up. No, we didn't lose that crew. It's just, you know, between COVID and vacancies, it's, you know, core services has been difficult. But we brought 5 new employees on Monday. We're bringing 7 more employees in on the 14th, which will allow us to start those ball field crews. And
all right,
if we take the ball fields away from our core services, they'll be able to do more picnic benches and ramadas and that kind of cleaning. So it's a win-win for both.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Thank you for that good news. All right. Lara, I think we're back to you.
The only thing I was going to share, and I do have it to present when we've got it finalized, but the department has launched a strategic plan process. So one of the things I wanted to do was figure out a way for us as a team, the department as a team, to develop our own goals and objectives moving forward where the staff are aligned and connect with what those goals are. We were fortunate that Greg had a template from one of his prior work locations that had been a successful model for us to adopt. So in December, we started the strategic plan roadshow with employees to start to educate them, but also get them to volunteer to be on different committees related to assembling a strategic plan for us. We're anticipating that probably by the summer months, hopefully aligned to the start of the fiscal year, if not right after the start of the new fiscal year, that we'd be able to adopt and start following a strategic plan. So when we have that all that information together, I will definitely make sure that we bring that as a presentation to you all. I think it'll be very useful on many angles, but what I'm hoping is that it's going to help to really boost morale and have staff really proud of the work that we do, because it's some strategies that they themselves have developed and are vested in.
Did you have anything else, Lara?
No, that'll be it for me today.
I do have one question for you, and then we'll open it up to see if the any of the other commissioners do.
Sure.
If I remember correctly from the minutes, and again, I can't remember whether this is the September or the October meeting, since those are the last two that we had. You were going to bring to us some information about the pool lap time scheduling in response to a Mr. Monroe who spoke to us last year. And I don't think that was ever brought back to us. So if you would check on that and put it on the agenda if that's necessary for the next time around.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't anticipate having that resolved by February. I actually just recently corresponded with Mr. Morano, and I explained to him in August, and I know I had brought this up at one of the prior meetings, we were very heavily focused on the whole vaccine mandate. We've lost a lot of staff, a lot of moving pieces. We then we're able to start focusing on hiring our 4 new pool supervisors, which actually just occurred. They came on, I think it's now 2 Mondays ago. And part of the expectations of those new pool supervisors is to help us to update all of the policies and procedures in aquatics, along with Billy and other staff. I've been doing a survey of area municipalities to see how they handle lap swimming and youth swimming. I still have 2 that owe me some information, but once we have that determination on what we are going to do regarding the lap swimming and who and when at what times, I'll definitely come back to you. But it's not that we haven't been working on it. It's just been there's been a lot of other things that have been pulling our resources. And right now we're also very heavily focused on how are we going to get enough lifeguards on board to be able to open pools back up in the summer. Aquatics has been, but the good news is we've got 4 brand new full-time employees in aquatics. Wonderful. Which is a significant improvement. Billy's been doing a great job, but he's been a solo act. So We've now made him the Jackson 5, essentially.
Okay.
But I think it's good.
Did you say that you had communicated that to Mr. Monroe?
Yes. I would say probably about 2 weeks ago. He and Councilmember Kosacik and I were corresponding together.
Oh, good. Okay. Because he contacted me about a month and a half or 2 months ago, and I told him we hadn't had a meeting, so I didn't know.
Right.
So I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. No problem.
Anybody else have any questions for the director? Then we will move on to item. Oh, I see a hand. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Manon.
Hi. Actually, I was wondering, I guess we're moving on to future agenda items shortly. Is that the case? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just wait until we hear that.
Thanks. Oh, okay. All right. Anyone else before we move on to item number 8, the future agenda items? Then let's go there. First part of this is future agenda items. So what, besides what we've already discussed today with the awards and that sort of thing, what else needs to be put on the agenda? I would assume that we'll have some kind of, if you're going to send out the budget information, we'll probably have some kind of an update as to what or if you got any responses next time. That should probably be on there. And if we don't get any responses, then let us know so that we can chastise each other.
Sure. Just so you know, so my running tally here for February was budget presentation, the awards, and then I've already asked staff to bring a senior a presentation on the Senior Olympics. We've been running that through the month of January. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I've been impressed to see what we've been doing and the impact that that brings, and I would like them to share that with you. So that's what I have for February, but certainly let me know.
Don't forget about the Don't forget about the officer situation. That has to be on the agenda before we can act.
Yes, sorry, yes. And that is also, I have it written here, but it was further down the list.
Manon?
I was curious where we were getting with the Reed Park Master Plan, if we had found a company to lead that, or how far are we? I know you're understaffed, so I just...
No, there. That is more about negotiation. We are literally down to final articles between the firm and procurement for them to come to a meeting place. But the Parks Department is ready to proceed once that contract has been signed. And we got an update today that looks like it's probably going to take us until mid-February once we navigate through all the various timelines that are required once they've agreed on the legal side of things.
Okay. All right. So my second question is sort of along the lines of budget. When I've never been through a Reed Park, you know, a master plan process, and I'm not sure who else has here. But I was curious around, you know, citizen engagement with that master planning process. Is there going to be a way to move forward where citizens have some input on what they would like to see beyond just a fill in the dot of something that's already offered up to them? I've noticed that a lot of people who use Reed Park really have some really great ideas, and it would be nice to have a way for them to submit those. Is there a way to do that?
So since we're talking about future agenda items and this wasn't on the agenda to discuss, what I would recommend is let me get together with Greg and see what we can present by the time this meeting occurs in February. We should have the contract, and we can present what is the plan, the timeline. Does that work?
Yeah, that works. I just was curious. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for or items for the future agenda items? All right, hearing none, the next item on there is our meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, February 23rd, next month. It'll get again at 3:30, and it will be a virtual meeting since the city is still doing virtual things. And hopefully we may even find out about the Omicron variant and that we've peaked by then. It would be certainly very nice. Does anyone have any other questions or comments before we go to adjournment? Again, I want to thank the people who showed up today for this meeting. Since we haven't had one since October, I want to give kudos to Robin and Manon and to our new member, Lucy. Thank you all very much for attending. And we made it in 1 hour and 29 minutes. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve, and everyone else. I look forward to working, continuing our work together. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks, Steve. You bet. Just a minute. I got to figure out how to get out of this.